what Biden means. He talked to all the Republican voters and Homeland Security for their children. And we'll put them into re-education camps.
Amen.
So full disclosure here, I'm one of the few, I think, 1980s people. I was in my 20s in the 1980s. I'm probably one of the few 1980s people that just absolutely never, never liked Bruce Springsteen's music. Just full disclosure here. I was also a teenager in the 70s, and I never liked Led Zeppelin. Maybe that makes me the weird guy. I don't know. I don't really care. What I do know is it doesn't really have anything to do with this, but in fairness, because I'm sure someone will point it out, but Dave, you don't like Bruce Springsteen. You're right. But that predated all of this, so it didn't really matter. In case you didn't notice or didn't hear, Bruce Springsteen, the boss, as he is otherwise known, he had all the charges dismissed. He was arrested back in November before the Super Bowl commercial, which featured Jeep, which informed us that we need to reunite and we all need to agree and we all just need to can't we all just get along kind of thing. And if we just see things the way Bruce and his crowd does, then by golly, we'll get into our Jeeps and we'll drive off to church in the midland of the country. The sun will rise. Everything will be happy again. Before all that was aired on Super Bowl Sunday, Bruce Springsteen had been arrested for DWI. Now, it's one of those situations where, there's no video of it that we know of. There's no witnesses to it other than the two people involved, Bruce Springsteen himself and the cop who arrested him. And the cop who arrested him describes Mr. Springsteen's actions as being pretty typical of people who are drinking when they shouldn't be. Now look, I drink. I've been drunk on occasion. In fact, tomorrow is Purim, in which case I have a rabbinical law that I have to get drunk. It's one of my favorite holidays. They asked me, I was in Torah class the other night, they said, "Are you ready for Purim?" And I held up my bottle of Wyoming whiskey. I said, I'm ready. I'm ready. And everybody had a little laugh. Anyway, point being of all this, that I have noted through my years, particularly in the 1980s when I didn't like Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run, that was the big album back then, and dealing with sailors, that, and I say this with love, folks, drunk people are assholes. People who are drinking, most of them, not all, but most of them, really become jerks. They really do. And the police officer's description of what he was observing Mr. Springsteen doing fits pretty well with what my experience has been with watching people drink. He was combative. He was aggressive. He was rude. He was, almost don't you know who I am kind of thing. And again, there's no video of this. There's no recording of this. So it's just the police officer's word versus Mr. Springsteen's word about what was going on. After the Super Bowl, this was kept quiet, by the way, after the Super Bowl, and we were informed that in the center of the country, there's a church where this Jeep driven by Bruce Springsteen is going to go, and this is the key to all of us just getting along. We all just have to come together. We all just have to agree, and everything will be fine, and buy a Jeep, which I would never do again, by the way. I did once, never again. After the Super Bowl ad ran, it was immediately pulled by Jeep because they knew about this and within a couple of days, it had become national news that Bruce Springsteen had been arrested for DWI. This is a problem for Jeep. It's a nightmare for ad execs. But at the same time, they had to have known. And yet they ran it anyway. They couldn't not have known, I guess is what I would say. But they figured it was worth the risk, I suppose. And then the news came out that he was arrested for DWI months before this. And everybody kind of went, what now? Well, the charges have been dropped. I don't know if you knew this or not. The charges were dropped in a short hearing at which Mr. Springsteen agreed to plead, quote unquote, guilty to a much reduced charge of drinking in an area he wasn't supposed to be drinking in, which was a $500 fine, and the rest, everything else just went away. The intriguing part of all this is how we got to that point. The argument that was made by Springsteen and his attorneys was the cop was biased. The cop who arrested Mr. Springsteen for DWI was, in fact, a conservative activist. This is the argument that the attorneys made, Springsteen's lawyers made. He was a conservative activist who was arresting Springsteen not because he was DWI, not because he was drunk, not because he was creating any problems, not because he was doing something he shouldn't be doing, but because he was a conservative activist and he wanted to embarrass Mr. Springsteen while making some sort of point about his own political views. What that point would be, I have no idea. But apparently, the belief went that the police officer was a Trump voter, and the reason he was arresting Mr. Springsteen was because Mr. Springsteen was, in fact, a Trump supporter, a Biden supporter, who hates Donald Trump. And therefore, he was using his power authority badge to embarrass Mr. Springsteen for political reasons. Now, you might say to yourself, Dave? Only if you're named Dave. I don't know what your name is, but you might say to yourself, Dave, whatever your name is, that's one of the most ridiculous arguments I've ever heard in my life. I can hear you saying it. And I would agree. It is one of the most absurd arguments I've ever heard in my life. But in light of everything we've been through in the last year, does it kind of make you uncomfortable? Because it does me. When we think about the arguments we've had over the last year about justice, the idea of those tasked constitutionally and morally with enforcing or preserving and protecting justice abusing that power, is it possible that a police officer who happened to be a conservative and loves Trump and hates Biden and knew that Bruce Springsteen was a Biden supporter went too far? And the answer is uncomfortably, it's possible. Is it probable? I don't think so. But the judge obviously did. The judge bought into the arguments. The judge bought into the discussion, and he dismissed all of the charges against Mr. Springsteen, with the exception of the drinking in a controlled area, $500 fine, slam bam, you're out on your way. This whole accuser is biased effect on justice, though, has me wondering, because was any proof offered that the police officer was biased and that he was did the police officer make a social media post saying, yeah, I just busted that Biden supporter, was there any actual evidence of this? Is it possible? Sure, it's possible. But doesn't that require some element of proof? Would you or I have gotten a deal like this? Could we have gone to the judge and said, you know what, judge? The only reason this police officer arrested me was because I voted for Donald Trump. And this police officer likes Joe Biden, and so they arrested me. I wasn't doing anything illegal. I wasn't doing anything Bruce Springsteen didn't do. Do you think you would have gotten the same treatment? Do you think you would have gotten that same deal? Again, the answer is very uncomfortable, isn't it? No way in hell. You have to wonder about this whole effect on justice and whether or not justice is blind or whether or not justice is bought. And there are a lot of ways of paying for that rather than just money. The impact of what we've seen on the justice system as a whole throughout the last year makes us wonder at times, is it possible? Is there some rational argument that can be made that perhaps justice is in fact being perverted by different branches of it, whether it's police officers or district attorneys or judges or whatever, Congress people, legislative bodies? It's an uncomfortable question because the answer isn't as clear cut as it should be. It isn't black and white, so to speak. Justice is blind, justice is not. Should be, but it's not. But this concept that you can just accuse the accuser, j'accuse, of being politically motivated intrigues me quite a bit. If Bruce Springsteen hadn't said a word, would this even be news? But because his lawyers did argue this, it made the news, and now that the charges have been released or removed, stand by, because your television is about to be inundated with this Jeep ad from the Superb Owl, the Super Bowl, reminding you that in the center of the country, there's a small church where Bruce Springsteen drove his Jeep to tell you that if you would just think like he does and like those who like him do, then everything would just be fine. And the real problem with this country is people who don't think like he does and they do. And we just need to force them to accept, unite, and return to whatever. And if we could just do that, then you'll be fine, right? Millions of people took that from the ad, as opposed to the, oh, this was the greatest ad ever on the Super Bowl. It was the winner hands down. Millions of people took that as a slap in the face. Oh, if you would just think like we think, then you could come to this church in the middle of the country and everything would be fine. This idea that you can accuse the accuser of being biased and that argument would be accepted in one direction but not the other is scary, isn't it? It's an idea that once upon a time would have seemed absurd to us. We would have said, no. But now, these ideas that once upon a time would never have seen the light of day, that were never even spoken aloud except as jokes, and I'm doing the air quote thing there, are now being, they're now being seen in the light of day, and they're not being laughed off the stage. Ideas like, well, we should put Trump supporters in re-education camps to hold them accountable. We have a congressperson who said that. We should eradicate these ideas because they're not what we want the ideas to be. And we want everybody to agree so that we can unite at this church in the middle and everybody will be happy then. See? As these ideas take flight, the question I find myself asking is, what will those tasked with justice do? In the case of Mr. Springsteen, we've seen them buy the argument that a police officer, with no proof one way or the other, was somehow politically biased and therefore arrested Mr. Springsteen, not because Mr. Springsteen was drinking, not because he was being a jerk, not because he was breaking the law, but because he wanted everybody to vote for Joe Biden. Is that a problem? What will those tasked with justice actually do as these ideas become more and more prevalent, as these ideas become more and more mainstream? Oh, that'll never happen, Dave, you say. They're clearly unconstitutional, these ideas. I mean, First Amendment, Fourth Amendment. These things would never happen, Dave. State of emergency comes along and all of a sudden we've got 25,000 troops in the Capitol. Do you think you can just walk into the Capitol and say whatever you want right now? Public safety becomes an issue. Well, how dare you publish something that criticizes Dr. Fauci's position on whether or not you should wear two masks or six? Eventually, we're going to start taking those down. There was a book about transgenderism, a very, as I understand it, I've not read the book, but as I understand it, it is the work on anti-transgenderism philosophy. Amazon pulled it. Did you know that? They didn't even make an announcement about it. The only reason they found out is because the author got an email saying you can't get your book anymore. What's going on? As these ideas become more and more prevalent, as they take flight, these ideas that you can suppress other people's speech, the other people's thinking, other people's association, what will those who are tasked with maintaining, supporting, defending, upholding justice do about it? At some point, laws may be passed saying you can't do that anymore. Whether it's you can't own a gun, you can't make this kind of speech, you can't associate with these kinds of people. Who's going to enforce those laws, and are they going to do it? Are cops actually going to do those things? What about district attorneys who are tasked with making sure that justice is done? We've seen so many cases in the past 20 years of DAs who were so zealous for a conviction that facts, fairness, justice, none of that mattered. None of that mattered in the all holy pursuit, the crusade of a conviction. Was that justice? What about the military? That's a tough one, isn't it? We just compelled the entire military. We're in the process of compelling the entire military to retake their reenlistment oaths. I support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. But first, we're going to sit all of you guys down, you guys and gals down, and explain to you who those enemies are. And then we're going to make you retake the oath. Well, what if the definition of who those enemies are, has changed? Is the military going to enforce those things? Is the military going to be used, as it is being used in Washington, D.C. right now, to enforce this concept of justice? It makes you wonder, doesn't it? It makes me concerned because these are ideas that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, never would have come to the surface. They never would have even if they had come to the surface, they would have been taken as ludicrous arguments from extreme left-wing lunatics, Karl Marx kind of people. Now, they're PBS execs. Now they're Congress people. They may be judges, district attorneys. No matter how you look at it, they're certainly singer-songwriters who want to get paid for their ad. And that's how we're getting some boss justice, isn't it?